If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome to Business Rockstars. Joining me right now, Ali Abdullah, CEO of Claim It. And I say it with exclamation point. Claim It!
It's a verb, baby.
Okay, explain what is Claim It, this wonderful app.
Yeah, Claim It is a marketplace that allows people and brands to, you know, share free stuff to create a buzz, drive traffic, and they can do this in just seconds. And so, you know, a national brand may have a new product they want to test amongst users. Within seconds, they can use the application to get the free stuff into the hands of locals. Or you might be a local business owner that want to drive traffic at the last minute. You can, within seconds, be able to say, hey, free coffee at a local coffee shop. So it's something that is very unconventional and exciting in the same breath.
Well, I know you already know this, but as someone who interviews entrepreneurs, I can attest to how much there is a need for this, and I'm sure a demand for it, because that is priceless for these businesses to test out new products, whatever it may be. So how did you come up with this idea?
Yeah, it was during a period of time I was actually homeless in 2008, and you know, an interesting point of, like, thinking about the concept of Claim It was the power of free. And so I think that the most... most simplified thesis of the power of free is really to sort of the intersection between the desire and need and the desire of everyone wanting free stuff, right? And, you know, the dopamine effect that creates in people's brain that gets them excited when they hear the word free.
Oh, yeah.
And the need, right? So the intersection between the desire and need and the need of brands and businesses and people in general who wants foot traffic, eyeballs, this buzz, this word of mouth. And so we wanted to leverage our skills in building technology to build a platform that can service both. And so, you know, in 2008, when, you know, there was a period of time when I was struggling, you know, I just started, you know, basically putting this concept together and started hacking it out. And I got together with my wonderful co-founders in 2012. I eventually got back on my feet at that point, right? But got back with my co-founders and we started hacking out Claim It. We left our great jobs in 2014 to launch a sort of a beta version of the app. And it went very well. And we brought on these great investors. And so we went back to the drawing board to build our really the national version of our app, which is happening in the coming weeks.
Amazing. So let's talk about that beta version first. What all goes into creating that?
Yeah, a lot of planning, a lot of whiteboarding, a lot of sort of code testing, you would say. A lot. You know, I think you always have to be aware of your competition, right? And there has been so many companies that has tried sort of the, you know, you watch this ad, you get something for free, or the reward space. But we haven't found anyone to be quite as compelling as what we're doing, right? And I'm not being biased at all. I'm just being frank on, you know, we like to think about platform first and how we build our product at Claim It. And now that we have 12 employees, it's sort of like, you know, from pre-K to, you know, through Ivy League, right? And so we try to think very elementary first. And so what that means is think about, what's the user experience for someone like my daughter's age, 7.5 years old? Like, will they understand Claim? And I think that was very important to how we built the early version of our app. And so a lot of the branding, the pink, which would be attracted to people to talk about conversation starters. That Claim It truck was pink as well. The design of that, our co-founder Kaza did a phenomenal job of putting that together. And so a lot of careful planning behind that.
And it's fun. You know, when I see your sweatshirt and the logo, it just...
It starts a conversation.
Yeah, it's,
and then you can also
fun.
Get something out of that as well.
Right.
And the process is simple. And so that worked very well. But there were a number of issues, right? And so I'll be here to tell you that we had over 500,000 people who had downloaded the app in just one city. You know, everybody wrote about Clayman. We were featured on all the big shows. But at the same time, you know, there was a lot of challenges. And the most important challenge, you know, which was a daunting task, which was to identify how to scale the business. And that was a nightmare for us. And so you know, we would take it to investors, right? So a best use case would be that we have traction, we have metrics, we have data. And so we'll get a conversation started with investors. And we'll get that next meeting, right? So the goal in raising venture capital is to get the next meeting, get the next meeting, get the next meeting. And so we'll get pretty far in the process, but, you know, scale was the big issue. And so the earlier version of the app proved a couple of things. One, that people didn't love an app. It was actually addicted to our application, right? Because when you look at how you had to go about winning a prize and how you had to go about claiming a prize, you know, like we'd notify you, we'd get you back in the app. You claim, you had to locate a truck. So that's a habit, right? That's a habit. And so we found that users were addicted to our platform, but it was a small group of these people because they were in New York City. And so we're not sure how that's going to look on a national scale, but we believe that the earlier version of our application really showed that the premise of our application, the premise of our model, sort of the free, is very powerful with our users.
Well, you did one thing, a lot of things, but something standing out very right, and that is you came up with your minimum viable product, and then you tested it on a small scale.
Exactly.
And I think the temptation often is when you have a big idea to want to go as wide as possible. We're just going to go national immediately.
Yeah.
But that is very difficult, and I'm sure there is a ton of power in testing it out in New York City, seeing there was a demand, but then seeing where you could improve.
Exactly.
And you've done that between then and now launching on a national scale.
Yeah.
And it's really inspired you to be flexible and pivot in many ways. So tell me some of those ways that you've pivoted.
Yeah, so when you look at the platform, the earlier version of our application, which was, like you mentioned, like more of a proof of concept, it was very singular. And it focused on users just getting, right? So receiving. So everyone wants free stuff, right? That desire. But did we really service the need, right? The need to some degree was to get the product out into people's hands. They can maybe talk about it, use it on social media, but it wasn't very simple. The process was very manual to onboard our brand partners. To some degree, it limited ourselves to scale the model, right, from working with essentially anyone like yourself. You might have services or products you may offer outside of this job, right? But at the same time, we limit ourselves early on with having just the national brands. And then secondly, you know, there was only a small chance of people who actually will get these prizes. So we knew as we scale, right, like you might have 1 million people claiming every day, but I don't know, 0.001% of these people are winning. You know, what's the churn? Like, do these users fall off after the course of like a 14 to 31 day period or 30 day period? I think so. And so, investors were saying the same thing. And so when you look at the new version of the app, it's driven by just sort of the network effect. And the network effect is us, the actual user. And then you have national brands within seconds that can give, share, and promote whatever they like for free. You have people. You have local businesses. And so that's all driven by the actual user of the application. And they can all do that right from their smartphone. And it takes seconds for them to do it, to simply plug in whatever you want to promote. Free lipstick, free bundle package, free whatever. And users can see that based on a zip code, a national audience, or peer-to-peers.
Yeah. I think you're a good example of how getting meetings with venture capitalists are helpful beyond just obviously the goal, getting money and funding, but also the feedback is so priceless. Oh, yeah. And that probably,
absolutely,
those initial meetings probably really, really helped you fine tune the app and what you were offering so that you could get that next round of funding.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, there are VCs and, you know, and I think that, you know, raising capital, there's no art to raising capital. at least that I know of. However, I think that, you know, when you look at some of the traits of the most successful people in the world is how they spend their time, but also keeping this open-minded attitude, right? And so for myself, you know, you have Mark Zuckerberg and you have Ali. But at the same time, I would imagine a couple of things that we have in common, because I know the people who's around Mark, is that he's always open for advice. You know, when I worked at Google, the key word is autonomy. And so working there for over 2 years, one of the interesting things I learned from there was autonomy. And so when we started claiming, it was just three of us. We went to five. And those two additional employees were part-time. So it's really three core employees. But now having almost triple the team, everyone has ideas. But everyone has this autonomy, this freedom, this spirit. To express themselves, to whiteboard ideas. Sometimes we're overly excited on how fast we can implement things. And so when you look at claiming now, you know, the earlier version of the app, you had to watch a 15-second ad to claim something. So that's how we made our money, from a user watching the entire completion of that ad. The new version of our app, essentially, there's no revenue model in place. We're going to focus on pure product growth. But when you look at our real estate, there's a huge opportunity to hit in plain sight for us to make money. So we have a number of ideas, but we know that when it's time, we'll roll it out.
Yeah, that's a very interesting business model, and you see it a lot in the tech space with venture capital funded companies where they focus on numbers and really building out their platform and then worry about the revenue streams down the road. So interesting. We're going to talk more about that when we come back. We're going to take a quick break.
Great.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
If you're like most people and you see two gas stations and one sells gas for a little bit less, you go to that one. It just makes sense. Every little bit helps. But here's what's weird, though. Sometimes we save a few pennies here and there and ignore opportunities to save huge money, life-changing money. If you switch to MediShare for your health care, it could be massive savings for you. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Think what you could do with that over time, just doing the math. That's $6,000 a year. That is significant. And yes, people love it, and they love it because it works. It's believers who share each other's healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people are now members of MediShare, and it's growing like crazy. Find out how much you could save and why MediShare is so popular. Go to MediShare.com or call *848. That's *848. Message and data rates may apply. Call *848.
Hello, this is America.
Hey, folks, are you the next world-famous entrepreneur? Or maybe you don't really care about fame, just want to help people? Well, whatever your motivation, if you're an innovator, it's easy to launch your dream this month with LegalZoom. Incorporate or form an LLC to start your business. Register your trademark to protect your products and services. Apply for a patent to secure your invention. You know, over the past decade, LegalZoom has helped more than 1 million people just like you turn their ideas into reality. So what's so special about this month? For a limited time, you can get special savings on any trademark, copyright, or provisional patent application. Go to LegalZoom.com today to get started. They can even help if you have a great idea, but you're not sure where to begin. Since they're not a law firm, you can get advice through LegalZoom's network of independent attorneys in most states. That means you can get the guidance you need to get your idea off the ground. Don't forget to enter Ray in the referral box at checkout this month for a special discount. LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com. Legal help is here.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit. Again, call 800-557-6095.
Time changes everything. For me, becoming a single father of two young kids, it changed my ability to use my timeshare. The frustration of not being able to use it was compounded by annual maintenance fees that nearly tripled over a three-year period. I was desperate to get out. After searching online for sell my timeshare or get out of my timeshare, it just looked like one scam after another. I needed a real, permanent, and legitimate way to get out of this for good. I'm Brandon Reed, the founder of Timeshare Exit Team. We will get you out of the timeshare you can't use or can't afford anymore. We get people out safely, legally, and permanently. We are more successful because we have more solutions. Schedule a free consultation to review your ownership situation and find the best strategy for you. If we can't get you out, we will give you a full refund. Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Call 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112.
Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook.
The biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome back to Business Rockstars, where we are continuing our conversation with the CEO of Claim It. I love saying it, Claim It. So we are talking about how you get to right now really focus on building your user base and kind of think about the revenue streams down the line. So I'm sure that was a very strategic decision. How did you come up with it? And how does the company know whether or not that's even an option for them?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a great question. You know, one thing I don't want to encourage to entrepreneurs is that, you know, if you're a really great hacker or a good programmer, developer, or you can, you know, you can make the best, you know, margarita, you know, you want to be able to, you know, at least have a clue on what the business model can be, right? What your revenue model would be. We have some ideas, obviously. We were able to prove ourselves in an early version of our application. We made a good amount of money, almost $250,000, a little more than $250,000 in just one city on advertising. And so that was a clear example that, okay, well, you know, with a small team, great attitude, and we're sort of with the hustle, we're able to make money. However, though, you know, there was oftentimes there was issues with the app, right? So issues with the back end, the front end. And so when you look at rolling out the national version of the app, you know, something I brought up to our board was, you know, the idea of potentially removing these really, you know, interesting takes we had around monetizing through the app, and everyone was in full support. And so it was surprising, but it was also encouraging at the same time, because we did a pretty good job of getting people excited to download the app and to use the app. And so we thought there was an opportunity there to really focus on what is at the core of every decision that we make, and that's the actual customer and the product. And so you know, our investors, our lead investor, Newark Venture Partners, which is based out of Newark, New Jersey, you know, we're backed also now by Audible and participation from N4 Retail Holdings and a number of credible seed investors. It's just been a great ride. We've been able to triple our team and 3 months or so. So it's been great.
Yeah. You know, with your business model, you aim to get as many users as possible. And where there are users and a lot of them, there will be opportunity for revenue streams. So that totally makes sense. Yeah. Let's talk about your background a little bit more. Yeah. I know you alluded to that you worked for Google and you have a great education and programming skills and all of that, which all sets you up for being very, very marketable to investors. So tell us a little bit about those key things that have helped you be a really competitive entrepreneur.
Yeah, you know, there's always your advantages and your disadvantages, right? And, you know, and so I wouldn't say that my background sets me up. That makes me attracted to investors, right? I smile a lot. but all kidding aside, I think, you know, I have what it takes, right?
That tenacity.
I know for sure now.
It's the intangible. Right?
You know, whereas, like, I have one investor. His name is Dan Petrozzo. And Dan is, I call him sort of like the pit bull. And he's a mean machine. And so oftentimes for the earlier version of the app, you know, he's one of my coaches, and he's someone that would just always just, Ali, you know, you have it and this and that. And so, like, Stanley Druckenmiller was another mentor of mine. So Stanley Druckenmiller would give me advice on, the attitude and aggressiveness I should have. And so, like, Stan and Dan are, like, you know, two of many of my mentors slash advisors, but two of more recently who coached me often and give me advice. Kevin Warsh is one of them as well, that wants me to just stay focused, be aggressive, but also to know, like, who I am. And now I'm able to confidently, you know, without having to talk about myself, know that, like, you know, I think I have what it takes, and I think investors see that as well. I think that my daughter even sees that I am a good example, that someone you can trust, someone who's going to execute, and also someone who's going to be able to lead a team as well.
Yeah, break down what that means to have what it takes, because there is, you're so right, that intangible factor that a founder needs to have, because often when I interview entrepreneurs or investors, they're betting on the founder, and they have to have that intangible. So how would you describe that it factor?
Yeah, so let's talk about myself, right?
Let's
so, like,
do it.
I've never been in a situation where I wanted to talk about myself, but, like, you know, I'm happy and confident now to say that, like, you know, through all the coaching and the great mentors I mentioned, you know, that nothing breaks me down, right? So, like, we grew up middle class at one point, and we lost it all. I went to all these great schools, and I have all these great teachers and mentors. But none of that doesn't make me high off life. Like, ideas are the most meaningful thing to me, right? And so being able to express myself by building something and having people use it, it's a sense of confidence for me. And so we look at the earlier version of our app, you know, I was in Minnesota one time and Minneapolis one time, and I requested an Uber ride. And the gentleman asked me, hey, like, what are you doing? I told him I own this company called Claim It. So I actually have that app. And so, like, to me, that gives me a lot of confidence to speak about the product, whereas I'm a very shy guy, which you probably can't tell.
I can't tell right now, but I believe you.
I'm a very shy guy. I'm not the guy that's going to go over to, you know, to your happy hour and just start talking to people at the bar. I'm a low-key guy. And so, you know, I have what it takes where I'm trustworthy. I'm coachable. I think I'm a pretty good leader. And I'm always investing in myself. Always. And that's what helped me be a good teammate as well.
You really touch on the resilience, too, because there are a lot of ups and downs in entrepreneurship, but you have to have resilience and keep on going.
I mean, everyone tells me no. I mean, everyone from, you know, my high school years, when I played basketball, when I thought I was going to be the next Allen Iverson, you know, to going to Ivy Leagues and then working at the great jobs and, you know, No, one yes.
So how do you maintain that confidence?
Well, because I'm confident in myself. And honestly, I'm like, this guy's smarter than me. That's interviewing me, right? This guy's, and you know, this guy's an employee. I'm actually a creator. And so having that competitive attitude also is important as well, right? I think when you look at, I'm a Virgo, and when you look at most Virgos, Kobe Bryant, I refer to basketball like I love Kobe Bryant. I'm only shouting him out because I don't know him, but we're also in L.A., but, you know, he has this attitude where he's in the gym all the time, and that's his investment in himself, right? You're paying him the big bucks. It's going to yield what the investment will be. So think about it in its simple terms of investments. The investment you put into me and my company, it's going to pay out because there's nothing that's going to knock me down.
We have time for one more quick question, and that is, what is your number one piece of advice for aspiring entrepreneurs?
You think of a scenario when there's a tip-off for basketball. You know, it's 19,000 people. You want to make that first shot so you can get confidence. But oftentimes, from experience, that first pass, which leads into an assist, can be the most rewarding moment because your teammate now encourages you.
Hmm.
Right? And so I think that's the best piece of advice I can give to entrepreneurs is that, you know, we don't have to make the first shot. Let's make the first pass.
Just get started.
Let's get started. Exactly. Yeah.
Spoken like a true basketball fan. I love it. Tied it back to that basketball. So cool. Well, thank you so much for stopping by and for all of your insights.
Thanks for the opportunity.
You are welcome. And we are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys.
It may have been a messy divorce that suddenly cut your income in half, but not your bills. It might have been an injury or illness or your boss just cutting back your hours. It doesn't really matter how you got in over your head. It only matters that you are and that we're here to help. If you've got over $10,000 in credit card debt and you can't ever see breaking free, then call Action Debt and do it now. Being in over your head is a vicious cycle. One day late, they charge you a late fee. Miss a payment, they double your rate. You just don't think it's fair and neither do we. This is not bankruptcy or just a simple rate reduction plan. We fight for you using our proven experience in the insider programs that credit card companies try to hide. If you owe at least $10,000 to the credit card companies, you owe it to yourself to call Action Debt at 800-384-7099. Just because you got in over your head doesn't mean you have to stay there forever. Call 800-384-7099 today and we can be on your side tomorrow. 800-384-7099. 800-384-7099.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
Attention, business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, and joining us today, our guest is Anjula Acharya, and she is a partner at Trinity Ventures. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you.
Give us a quick recap. What does your company do?
Yep. So Trinity Ventures is an early stage venture fund. We're a $400 million fund. We've been going for 30 years, and we invested in some incredibly iconic brands like Starbucks and Jamba Juice and PF Chang's and Care.com and Zulily. Yeah, we're the real deal.
The real deal.
Yeah.
What is your favorite part about being involved in that type of a business?
What I love about Trinity is just how everybody's really diverse and everybody has a very different opinion. We invest in very diverse companies and, you know, we just kind of look at the world slightly different, I think, to other venture firms, because, like, we're willing to take punts and bets that other people wouldn't be. So, yeah, I think it's really the partners. The partners make it really unique.
What do you typically look for when funding a deal?
Very hard to say, because it's in fact impossible to say, because
there isn't some type of a standard criteria, though, like 33% net profit, have to have sales,
no,
have to be doing $1 million a year. There's no criteria for you guys?
Well, because ultimately, like, you're doing early stage. Sometimes,
but you don't just fund ideas, you fund businesses, right? Or business
correct.
Models.
But, you know, sometimes we, like, one of my partners, Gus Tai, he's, like, really known for formation. So he's really known for getting incredible founders, putting them together, and building incredible businesses like Blue Nile or Zulily and companies like that. So sometimes we do really early stage formation stuff. Sometimes we do some seed stuff, and, you know, revenue's not the issue. It's just, you know, who's backing it, what's the story. But I think, you know, the thing that we do is look for great founders. Like, our business is about, you know, identifying amazing founders.
So that's like the jockey and the horse. Some investors look for the horse, be it the company or
correct.
The jockey being the
yeah.
founder or the person who's really going to execute the team.
That's a really great way of saying it.
You haven't heard of that before?
I have.
Okay.
But I just thought it was a great way of you said
well,
said
thank
it.
You very much. I appreciate it. Have you noticed that there's a trend based on, you guys have a $400 million fund, so it's pretty substantial in mm-hmm. in the game. Some people have huge billion-dollar funds.
Sure.
There's $400 million. You guys are playing with the big boys. So have you noticed that there's a trend with the types of deals that are being funded, whether or not they're coming from your company?
When you say a trend, what do you mean?
Meaning, like, there's a lot of app companies being founded. There's a lot of tech companies being founded, or SaaS products.
Right. I mean, like I said, we're quite a diverse fund. So we do some sort of, like, really unique deals. And we do enterprise and we do consumer.
So that's what I'm saying. Is there any type of trend happening in the market now?
Well, there was this whole trend of, you know, on-demand companies. But I feel like that trend is kind of disappearing now. I think people are, like, going, well, the unit economics don't make sense. Like, I'm not making any money. It's a tough business. So I think people are coming out of that, and I think people are sort of more focusing on enterprise more.
There's a lot of people trying to come up with the quote-unquote Uber or Airbnb of every new business model and niche.
Yeah.
And it's funny how many people actually come through the doors here and are like, well, you know, they use the analogy or comparison. Well, our company's like the Uber of this, or the Airbnb of this.
So I was the first investor into ClassPass. And the funny thing about that is that everybody comes to me and says, I am the ClassPass of Blowout. So I'm the ClassPass of, you know, whatever.
It's
and
so funny.
I get that all of the time.
Fastest way to make a, you know, comparison or learn something is through analogies and metaphors. And that's why people will say, I'm like the Airbnb of this. And then instantly our brain goes, oh, I get it.
I get it.
So it's like, I get it. But at the same time, it's kind of getting overplayed now. Everybody's trying to build some type of new gadget that's the Uber or Airbnb or
FastPass.
So that's a trend right there.
Yeah.
What do you think is a mistake that a lot of people, I just want to stay on the topic of raising money because that's really your background. What do you think is one of the mistakes people make? Or there could be a few when they're trying to get funded.
Yeah. Right. So this guy, this angel investor, said this to me once. He said, "When if you ask for money, you get advice. And if you ask for advice, you get money." Mm-hmm. And, you know, going back to my whole ideas of, like, networking and trying to be an evangelist within the community before you actually go and ask someone for money, have them see you as someone credible that has a really good take on the industry or sees it through a unique lens that nobody else is seeing it through. So I'd say a big chunk of what people do is they don't talk to any investors. They don't do anything. And then they go out and they try and raise money with this deck they've put together. And I think it's really important to be in a dialogue with investors before you're going to pitch to them. Mm-hmm. It's like, build a relationship and be in a dialogue with people. I think that's probably one of the smartest things you can do when you're raising money.
Okay, so building a dialogue and being prepared for the pitch, so to speak.
But even before you're thinking about pitching, it goes back. It's the same thing, really. It goes back to networking, and it goes back to sort of like what I said earlier.
Just right back to the grassroots.
Right. Network and like be an evangelist. Like so. Yeah. Before don't you know, fundraising. I always say that great CEOs are always fundraising. But they're always evangelizing. They're always talking about the industry. They're already always, like, you know, informing people and talking to people who are informed. So, yeah, I think fundraising is a thing that as a CEO, as a startup founder, you should always be doing.
And that's the one thing that keeps coming back is not only as a founder, you should always be fundraising, but networking has been the common theme. Partner at Trinity Ventures, Anjula Acharya, is joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. What about social media? I don't understand if, you know, a company like yours uses social media to find deals, generate leads, or do you guys use it for promotion, or do you not use it at all?
No, we do use it. I mean, okay. We had to use it to promote our companies.
So you use it to promote all the companies that you fund?
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously sort of getting the word out about the companies that we fund and what they do and their successes is kind of a big thing that we do. Mm. We call it Trinity Family. But I wouldn't really say that I find deals through social media. No, I mean, really find deals through just kind of networking through my contacts. And I would say that's the same for the other partners in the fund. I also think that, you know, we've been around for a long time. A lot of people come to Trinity because we're so credible. And, you know, we've been around for a long time and backed great founders.
What type of associations, groups, and events and different things like that are you a part of or do you consistently attend to find yourself networking at the caliber that you want for the people you're trying to meet?
Sure. I love TechCrunch. I just actually judged at TechCrunch Disrupt last week. So I love TC. I think they've got great events and Disrupt is awesome. I obviously, you know, try and get involved in kind of like early, you know, stuff. Like I'm doing something with Wharton Business School for female founders. And I've spoken at a bunch of business schools. Just kind of like, you know, some of the professional stuff and then obviously like schools.
How have you been able to maybe position yourself as somebody who they thought would be, I guess I'll just use the word worthy of a partnership in the company that you're a part of so that other people can learn from how you've been able to stand out as a personal brand, somebody who's going to be unique and add value in a different way so that you are somebody that they say, hey, look, we're a $400 million fund. We've been around for 30 years. You're somebody that we want to come in, not just as an employee, but as a partner so that other people can learn from that.
Oh, why did Trinity want me?
Yeah, you've been able to position yourself that a $400 million company wanted you to come in as a partner. So how can other people learn from that and position themselves to be looked at as that type of a person?
You know, I think I've got to give credit to, I'm very different and, you know, I don't have the background that sort of most people working in venture capital have. And I've really got to give it to Ajay Chopra, who's our managing partner, and the founding partners of the fund who kind of saw something in me that they felt that they could kind of bend kind of the way they saw things. So I have a really unique role at Trinity Ventures. I really help our founders in building their brand story. You know, I've built brand stories for celebrities around the world and for startups. And they brought me in for that. And then obviously I sit on the consumer investment team. So I also look at deals. And then I also do a lot of business development where I just help our portfolio companies connect with people they want to connect with. And when I came in as an EIR and, you know, Ajay was like, what do you want to do? And I said, you know what? I don't want to do any one thing. I just want to do what I do, which is kind of this combination of business development, marketing, branding, and looking at great companies. And he just said, okay, come in and do that. So, you know, he gave me, you know, he just kind of gave me this kind of evolving role, which has sort of moved and shifted. And probably not like most venture firms, but like I said, we're like a really diverse fund. So I think that they look for people that have different lenses on things. So,
you were saying something about you come in and you kind of help people develop the story behind their brand.
Yeah.
What are some of like the beginning things that somebody can learn from? So if they're trying to develop the story behind their brand, how would you help them do that?
You know, just to go back to fundraising for a second, because I think this is a great piece of advice, is like, I think every entrepreneur should have their story before their fundraising. Mm. So I think their own personal story. And it's funny because, again, speaking about my managing partner, he loves entrepreneurs that come in with a story. Like, so just to give you a great story, like ClassPass, Payal Kadakia, the CEO of that, she was a dancer. And she had these problems like booking classes and studios for dancing. So she built this company, ClassPass, to solve that problem. And, you know, we love that. We love people that come in with a story of like, this is the reason why I founded this company. In terms of just as I think as an entrepreneur should really be able to have their own story, but that also leads into, you know, why they founded this company and what's the story of the company. And it's normally to solve, in my opinion, great companies solve problems. So how are they solving this problem? And then, you know, why are they the best person to solve it?
I love that. You've got lots of great little tiny pieces of advice and little nuggets and sayings. So I want to put you on what I call the stadium pitch.
Oh God.
Or presentation. So imagine you have this giant auditorium of entrepreneurs and aspiring entrepreneurs. You're about to take the stage. You've got maybe 10 or 20 seconds to just kind of distill down some of your best wisdom and advice for them.
Right.
Take the stage.
Oh my God. I feel like I'm going to be really repetitive, but you know.
That's fine, because reiteration and repetition will help people realize the importance of what you're saying, and that it's not just like, yeah, well, I'm saying this because this is like standard cliche stuff people say, but like this is really what's changed your life and your business.
So my best advice is, you know, come up with something that means something to you. So, you know, if you're experiencing a problem and you want a solution for it, probably lots of other people are too. So come up with something that solves a real problem and then figure out why you're the best person to solve that problem and then be able to, as I said before, evangelize and network around that problem so that people will listen.
That's like the perfect little thing right there to turn into an article or a video or something. And Jula, it was a pleasure having you on
the
show.
So nice to meet you. Thank you.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Hey, have you ever thought to yourself, I would like to become an entrepreneur? I'd like to learn how to become an entrepreneur and build my own company, fulfill my own dreams. If you'd like to become an entrepreneur, you can join one of the largest communities on the planet now, free. Go to cofounderslab.com. CoFoundersLab.com, a community of 400,000 entrepreneurs looking to start, fund, and grow their own businesses. CoFoundersLab.com, register now, free. You can get access to mentoring, networking, learn how to build a pitch deck, business plans, and get exclusive access to Business Rockstars TV by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Learn to become an entrepreneur for free. Go to cofounderslab.com, cofounderslab.com. That's cofounderslab.com.
If you're like most people and you see two gas stations and one sells gas for a little bit less, you go to that one. It just makes sense. Every little bit helps. But here's what's weird, though. Sometimes we save a few pennies here and there and ignore opportunities to save huge money, life-changing money. If you switch to MediShare for your health care, it could be massive savings for you. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Think what you could do with that over time, just doing the math. That's $6,000 a year. That is significant. And yes, people love it, and they love it because it works. It's believers who share each other's healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people are now members of MediShare, and it's growing like crazy. Find out how much you could save and why MediShare is so popular. Go to MediShare.com or call *848. That's *848. Message and data rates may apply. Call *848.
With your Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute, I'm Vivian Williams. Fainting happens when your brain doesn't get enough blood and you lose consciousness temporarily. It's often brought on by an emotional trigger such as being upset or excited.
The brain says, look, you don't have to be so excited. Let's slow down the heart rate. Let's lower down the blood pressure. So that reflex sometimes goes overboard and the patient ends up with low blood pressure or a low heart rate. The combination of the two leads to insufficient blood supply to the head.
While most fainting spells are benign, cardiologist Dr. Win Shen says there are times when fainting is more concerning. That includes people with known heart conditions and
somebody has chest pain or palpitations prior to fainting. That's important. And usually we pay a lot of attention to if a person has a fainting spell doing exercise.
Any of those instances.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. clients. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Business rock stars. Now let's check in with Pat O'Brien.
This is CEO Roundtable, even though the table is far from round. Michael Fishman, the co-founder and president of Pure Cycles, is here. Got to see these things. They're great. And Mike Mothner from W Promote. These are two of the most successful CEOs under 30 in this country. And welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Not under 30 anymore, but I was still.
When you were under 30, they said you were the most the one to watch. Okay, that's one. You can only do one correction per interview. What type of culture do you have at your company?
We have a great culture, one that's fun, energetic. People work at our company love bikes, which makes it really nice to come into work and love what you do. We have a culture where people have long leashes. You're allowed to kind of own your own domain. Set guidelines and let people go and be creative. And most of all, just make sure people are having fun.
Yeah, Michael, how about you?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think if you walk through our office, you would easily confuse culture with perks. We have lots of perks that are nice that you sort of see around. But I really think what guides the culture is one of trust, one of accountability, one of seeing where we're going and your sort of your impact towards the goal. And yeah, having a lot of fun doing it. And, you know, we have a mantra, make Mondays suck less. If your Mondays don't suck coming into work, you're going to do better work. It's going to bleed over to the work you do.
Well, you should get up and not feel like you're going to work, right?
Yeah, it should be exciting. You should see the people that you are excited to interact with, and you're looking forward to a great week.
You guys are both seem to be passionate. How do you continue that? How do you keep that passion going?
Yeah, I think it comes from a bunch of different places. Just having motivation to grow my business and to be successful as an individual. And most of all, just walking to the office and seeing our 20, 25 employees all working hard and having fun and enjoying themselves. It gives me motivation to keep trying to grow my business even more to make sure that they're going to be in good hands. And then also just having the love for our product, for bikes, and really believing that bikes make the world a better place and make cities a better place and make people healthier, and being able to provide that product to the world is really exciting.
Mike, now that you're over 30, do you continue that passion, and how do you instill it?
Yeah, you know, I like building. I like coming in. I like seeing the work we're doing. I mean, we help other companies grow and be successful. I've been doing it 15 years, so it's been a lot of iterations of that. I think the things that's made me happy in sort of day-to-day work that has shifted, gone through iterations of that. And, you know, I think you have to sort of re-explore. Like, I try to sit down and say, what are the things that I enjoy doing? Those are probably the things I'm the best at. Let's do more of those. Mm-hmm. And what are the things that I don't like doing? Is there a way to do less of those? I'm probably not good at them anyway. So it's not always a perfect world, but I think I stay, when I can align those, I do better work and I enjoy what I do. And that's kind of where the passion comes from.
About mistakes. You know, the mistakes, I've had a few. We've all had them.
Yeah, well, I,
to do about? What's the biggest one?
Listen, if we didn't make a lot of mistakes, we weren't trying enough stuff. So mistakes come aplenty. I think the hope is that the little mistakes, you know, are the course corrections so that you don't make the big ones. I think I went through a period probably 5 or 6 years ago where I didn't quite lay out the vision of the company, and so I was getting distracted. And I think this was a personal, you know, I think I started
wanting... That was new to you, too, right?
Yeah, and I just sort of saw other things and other opportunities, and I kind of lost sight of kind of that core mission. And that was a mistake. And I think when I found that refocus, I also started having more fun again, too. So it really definitely, you know, looking more than a few steps ahead was really important for me.
I assume that the similar mistakes, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's just the course of
part of
your
deal.
Life, you know, normal business is making mistakes and making sure the most important thing is also instilling this into your employees is that if when you make a mistake, it's okay. It's making sure that you realized how you made that mistake, why you made it, and then to find, you know, the right way to go after that mistake. You know, like read a book called Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday. And, you know, it's all about just there's going to be obstacles, it's going to be mistakes, but getting past those mistakes and turning that into something good, you know, something that maybe you wouldn't have accomplished if that mistake didn't come in the way.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. We are here to inspire and form a connected community of entrepreneurs, what we're doing right now. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is CEO Roundtable. Mike Moffner is here. People call you Mike Mother a lot.
Telemarketers, they make that mistake
all
often.
Right. And Michael Fishman, did you ever realize you'd be a CEO?
You know, I don't know if I knew what the term CEO was, but I knew that I wanted
don't
to.
Don't you watch Silicon Valley?
I do know. We were actually on the show.
You were?
Our office had a cameo.
The Verity. I heard that pretty much every name they bring up is actually a real name.
Yeah, and the ones that are based off of, that are fictional, are generally based off of real people. So, yeah, it's kind of our world where we work with a lot of those types of startups and VC, the kind of tangent to the VC world. We see that a lot of those. Yeah. You know, I think I saw myself in a leadership role. I think I didn't know that it would be a CEO of a, you know, company going on 300 people. I think that is several iterations past what I saw, but definitely wanting to build and create and work with a team and sort of lay out a vision. I think I probably saw some version of that in the future.
How do you achieve? Well, he's got a baby coming up, and do you have kids?
Not yet. No.
How do you? But you will someday, maybe.
Yeah.
How do you think you'll achieve work and life, the balance?
Yeah, it's really difficult, you know, between spending 24 hours a day on my job and then having my wife at home and a dog. You know, I don't even think I can understand what it's going to be like when I have, you know, when I have my baby girl on the way.
Oh, it's the greatest thing
ever. In February, yeah.
But you're going to make time for it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think my time schedule is going to have to change. You know, I'm going to have to be working at home a lot more. And I'm going to have to be relying on my employees more. But, you know, I have no doubt I'll figure a way to get it done.
And when your daughter needs to know how to ride a bike, you realize that I'm the greatest bike instructor.
Oh, man. She'll
on Nantucket Island.
She'll be riding the bike.
She'll be, you know, right on it.
Yeah, right away.
How about you? How do you balance it all off?
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of funny. So on one hand, it doesn't turn off, right? So I can go home, but I'm still thinking about stuff. But I enjoy that. So to me, like, that doesn't screw up balance. I enjoy thinking about opportunity and so forth. I do think when it comes to, like, disconnecting, taking trips, taking time for myself, I make it happen. I'm a firm believer that I go take a weekend and just go have fun and relax. And, you know, I might bring my phone, but I am sort of mentally there. I come back better and stronger and smarter. So I'm a believer in forcing that to happen. You put it on the calendar, you take a vacation, you go have a day to yourself. I think you get an ROI on that
right.
time.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Pat O'Brien. Thanks for joining us on CEO Roundtable. We'll see you next time.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble. I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.